The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step 3, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step 4, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Today on The Grave Talks, House of Ghosts, a conversation with Nick Graves. When you grow up in a house filled with ghosts, it's not hard to naturally develop an interest in the paranormal. It's not a bridge too far to want to know who, what, where, and why you've been haunted through your formative years. Nick Graves is one such person. Starting in childhood, he and his family began to experience visits from the other side. While the setting of the structure he called home would change, the hauntings would not. Spirits of all types seem to find Nick trying to make him aware of their presence. This is his story.
I wouldn't say that my interest started at this point, but it definitely is what sparked it. When I was a child, I had a few paranormal experiences that obviously I couldn't explain, and they obviously scared me for a really, really long time until I eventually kind of got up the courage and stuff to really want to start studying it and find out more about like why these things happen. And then just recently I really started to like go out there and actually try to experience it again, see if I can have some of these experiences in other places and kind of document them and stuff like that. But when I was a child, I actually had one house that I lived in that was known for having like a lot of like weird activity. My aunt has had stories there that she told me later on in life that kind of experience that explained some experiences that I had as a child. Like she actually at one point took us out of the house at like 3 o'clock in the morning, like her and her friends. And we're walking across town now to like her friend's house at like 3 o'clock in the morning. And I remember obviously as a kid, I'm like, oh, this is great. You know, like this doesn't happen. You know, like we're out in the middle of town at 3 a.m. and like, this is real cool. But then she tells me why, you know, years later that they had seen what appeared to be like a shadow figure climb out of the mirror, and they had the lights on and everything in the room. So they saw it clear as day. Three people all saw the same thing, and it kind of just scuttled across the wall and like towards the window. And they, I guess, just gathered us up, me and my sister, and took off, and we were walking across town. To her buddy Bob's house. And then I had had experiences there where it would manipulate kind of like my dreams a lot. I had like a lot of the same recurring dreams, just a room with no windows, no doors, just a couch and a TV playing static. And you would just kind of hear like little voices and stuff like that come through the static. And that would be a dream that I would have a lot. And at one point I did like see kind of, I believe, what was in that house in kind of like a weird dream state that's really hard to explain. It kind of looked like kind of bumpy faced, like pointy ears tight against its head, lots of like sharp teeth, and it just kind of smiled. It was like right over me. And then like I kind of snapped back to like a sleep state, and then kind of snapped back to, and I was like in my room, and everything was what I guess appeared to be normal. But I remember just like staying under my covers and just basically waiting until I heard my mom in the room before I would even like get out of the bed, because I was like petrified after seeing that. It never did anything to me, never touched me, hurt me, anything like that. It was just right there in my face, and that was basically what sparked my interest. That definitely got me thinking, like, you know, what else is out there? Could it have possibly just been, you know, part of my imagination or something like that, or was that real? You know,
sure. I mean, even though it didn't necessarily have to physically reach out and touch you or cause you physical harm, that, I mean, that certainly would be traumatic to have that sort of experience and to feel it be that real, that all these years later you talk about it in terms of like, hey, we went to the grocery store and my favorite aisle had this cereal on it. It's just a factual thing. You're talking about it as if it were reality, because it was reality to you, seeing and experiencing that. What to you as a child makes that experience different than when you would have just had another nightmare? Because kids, obviously, they have nightmares, but I'm assuming there's something about that experience or those series of dreams that really... It felt different, that it stands out that much more to you.
Yeah, exactly. It's that. It's that it felt. You could actually feel like the dream, you know? It just felt so real, as though you were actually almost there. Mm-hmm. Those really like lucid dreams where it's almost in a reality. And in that specific moment when I thought I saw this thing, it was exceptionally real in the sense that like I saw the light coming through my blanket and stuff like that. And it just, and I felt the warmth of the sunlight and everything like that. And then I pull back the blanket and it's right there in my face. And then the next thing I know, snap, boom, I'm looking through the blanket again and I'm seeing the light and I'm feeling the warmth and it feels just as real as before. And this time I'm like, I'm not pulling the blanket down. I don't want to see what's on the other side. But that's when I waited till my mom, you know, was rustling around in the kitchen. I jumped out of bed and I ran to the kitchen. And, you know, my mom, obviously, she played it off. Well, she told me it was like a nightmare or whatever. But just the way it felt and sure. Just how similar the dream was to the actual reality really kind of stirred me. And then also having other experiences in that house that just were not settling with me well. And also my sister had experiences where she would like see hands and stuff like that, but she couldn't explain it well because she was very, very young.
Sure.
Talk about that, which was odd.
tell me about some of the other experiences that you had in that house outside of dreamlike experiences, whether they're things that you had occur to you directly or you had family members share with you over time of just bizarre things that no one could explain that were also scaring them.
My aunt had just that experience with her two friends, which actually I know her two friends very well. I've kept in touch with them throughout my life and stuff, really good people. And they've actually confirmed it to me without even knowing that my aunt had told me the story and stuff. And mm-hmm. So it was just, that was very peculiar to me. And then they would kind of confirm to me that my sister would talk about seeing hands all the time, and it just creeped them right out. And they like couldn't stand like babysitting us there in that house, in that apartment. And that house actually has been since demolished because it just vacated and sat abandoned for like 10, 12 years. So it was actually just recently taken down, unfortunately.
Wow. When you would have these experiences, I know when you run out of bed and you go to mom, hey, I saw the creepy man with the giant teeth and the decrepit skin hovering over me. Mom's reaction is, it was a bad dream. Calm down, honey. These years later, looking back on it, do you feel that she was just trying to do her motherly duty at the time to calm you down? Or do you think she knew deep down, no, Nick actually did see something, but it would be easier and probably better for him mentally if I just said it was a dream versus, yeah, our house is haunted as shit. Here's some Wheaties.
Yeah, we've actually talked about it recently, and that's pretty much, that was pretty much the consensus. Is she's just like, yeah, it's better to just not really, you know, tell you about it. Because then obviously, as a child, these things are already happening to you, and then your imagination starts to run wild with it, and it's going to probably make things worse even.
Sure.
And she kind of knew that, and she was like, you know what, I'm just going to kind of play dumb and just get us out of this house. Which funny thing is she actually moved us out of that house into another haunted house, but it wasn't anything like that. It was just like this old lady. But me and my sister actually saw her like walk across my doorway. That was another crazy story, where she basically heard the noises of like the footsteps, came running to my room, and she's like, I want to, you know, stay in your room tonight. I hear weird noises. And I'm like, yeah, that's definitely not happening. Go back to your room. And then I hear the footsteps, and I'm like, shh, shh, quiet, mom's coming. And now she's going to be mad, mm-hmm. you know? And then we're watching out the doorway, and then we just see like the silhouette of like kind of like a hunched over little old lady kind of walk across the doorway, turn around, like kind of look at us, and then walk back the other direction. And I'm like, I'm just trying to make sense of it in my head, because like, wow, what just happened? And I run out into the kitchen to try and see if maybe it was the shadow of my stepdad, which didn't make any sense because he was huge. Mm-hmm. And went out there, and obviously no one was there. There wasn't even the shadow anymore. Footsteps stopped and everything like that. And I was like, you know what? Maybe you can set up shop on the floor over here and you can sleep in my room tonight, because that was ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, a different type of haunting, different things going on in the second house. When we talk back about the first house and your mom, you know, being mom and trying to bring comfort, but behind the scenes, years later, when you got a chance to talk to her about that house and kind of revisited some of those things, what were some of the things that she came out to you and was able to share of her experiences in the house as the parent while you were the child at that time that she was experiencing?
I guess actually she wasn't experiencing a whole lot. She was just hearing all the stories, from my aunt and, her friends and stuff like that. And then hearing the seeing hands from my sister and whatnot. I kind of kept it to myself for the most part, except for that particular event. And then another time where it kind of made like my room seem like it was kind of spinning. And then, my hammock thing that I had in my corner with all my stuffed animals started kind of like jostling around up in the corner, and it just really just terrified me. And I ran to my mom's room and was like, you know, this is happening, and like, what's going on? And she basically just kind of like rolled over and just kind of grumbled, you know, tell them to leave you alone. And she actually doesn't remember that happening. We talked about that as well. And she's like, I don't remember saying that. And I was like, yeah, I figured not, because it was like you were like half asleep and you said that, and like that scared me even worse. Like, I was like, that wasn't cool. But I just like, I slept on my mom's floor, and I was just like, yeah, I'm not going back in my room. But yeah, other than those events, I didn't really mention anything. I'd actually had like what felt like a hand grab me like over my headboard, like grabbed my hand when I stretched like my hand over.
Yeah.
And it kind of felt like a cold, dry hand grabbed like the tip of my finger and just held it there for a second and like let go. Like some of these events that happened, I didn't really tell my mom about at all. But she had heard from my sister and her friends and my aunt and stuff, that those things were happening. And then I guess she talked to a friend of hers that was like a psychic or a medium in the town at the time. And like was kind of asking, like, you know, can you tell me if maybe there is actually something going on, or like this is just people's imagination going crazy? And I guess kind of confirmed and like told my mom like what my sister was seeing and stuff like that. But she wouldn't tell me who it was, like who told her that. So I can't really verify that. I would love to go talk to the person and kind of pick their brain a little bit.
Yeah. So your mom really, in the second house, did she have any experiences, or was it much like the first where everyone is you know, sharing the stories with her, and it's kind of hard to ignore it when everybody around you has these experiences?
No, the second house, she actually was like, I hated that house. She was like, that house really creeped me out. She's like, I hated the basement. She's like, it was just a really old foundation. It had like the raw wood beams and stuff like that. So it was just a really old house. And she was just like, I didn't like that house at all. I couldn't wait to get out of there. And we did. We moved like real fast out of that house. We weren't there very long.
Sure.
And the next house seemed fine.
Seemed fine, yeah. Okay, well, because what I'm wondering about, and when you look at the perspective of all this, do you feel that you yourself, possibly your sister, possibly your aunt, are more sensitive to these things than your mother was, and that's why these experiences were more evident to you guys than to your mom?
I mean, that's always a possibility. That's always something to definitely, you know, think about and kind of, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I just wonder. I mean, some folks are like that, where this is, you know, you're going to pick up on more because you have the ability to do so. It's a simple equation quite often. I think sometimes we think it's much more complicated, but it's like eyesight almost. Some of us can see the leaves blowing in the wind, you know, leaf by leaf from that tree way down there. But if you need glasses, it's a big giant blur of something down there. But some of us are able to pick up on some of those things even more. So you had an environment growing up that led to many questions, experiences that you knew you were having that were not made up, were not just part of your dreams. Were you able to tell your friends about any of these things at the time, or did you really just kind of keep it bottled up for fear of, hey, I'd rather not be labeled the crazy child?
I very seldom tell that story, honestly. And I really didn't talk to my friends about it at all at the time.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to have people like, oh yeah, you're a little odd, you know, like,
sure.
Just didn't want to feel like, you know, crazy or different or anything. Cause I didn't hear any of my, friends, you know, talking about that kind of stuff and
sure.
Whatnot. So, like, I don't know if this is really a thing that you bring up.
Yeah. Well, especially at that time, too. I mean, I brought all that weird shit up to my friends, but that's why I didn't have many friends either. You know, I think it was kind of an Aspie thing that I would be doing, but as to why I've created a career around the topic. But it's always fascinating to really get an understanding of the backstory and really what built someone, what their foundation is on the paranormal, as they turned into an adult and still have that fascination and that drive to try and get questions answered. So tell me more about that. You had these experiences. You're starting to grow older, and you have this curiosity. You're trying to get answers or verify what the hell was happening to you and some of your family members. What sort of sources did you go to? What sort of path did that take you down in trying to find answers as you grew a little bit older?
I would spend a lot of time at like cemeteries and just like places that like I knew, you know, obviously there like has to be spirits at if that's what it is and that's where they exist and all that. So I would go and do that a lot and just kind of see what I would see. At the time, I didn't know anything about like any equipment or anything like that. So I would just literally just be going out there and seeing if I would just see anything, you know, go out there at nighttime and whatnot. I would read a lot, like study a lot on like mythology and lore and demonology and just stuff like that. Just really try to kind of just touch on all those bases and see like what's out there, you know, aliens even, and just like, just stuff like that. Just really just try to hit the books and just try to study all those things. And it wasn't actually till recently I actually started to like go and, I guess you would call like investigating, like actually go out to like all these like notoriously haunted locations and stuff like that. And started doing that over like the past year, with my cousin. We started the Haunted Lair. And since then, honestly, it's really taken off because, obviously like now I'm kind of like in it and I'm like really starting to experience like some really strange, like paranormal, experiences like through all these different devices and stuff like that. And like, you can like seemingly talk to spirits like in real time now. And it's just,
yeah, there's a lot of things that'll really blow your mind as far as what's out there in terms of what, you know, what would have used to have been there. Before we get into more of going on investigations and things of that nature, let's go back to, you're curious. You're going to go to a cemetery at night. There's no equipment involved, but you're just, you know, maybe you'll have an experience. It's kind of a fun, spooky atmosphere. Why not? I totally get it. Did you have anything happen, though, in those moments of just, you know, being you out there, not really doing it super seriously, but more so on like kind of a personal journey of, you know, if something's going to happen, let's see if it happens. Did anything happen when you were kind of beginning to seek that out?
Actually, I've only ever had one experience, like really seeing anything, as far as like what I would possibly consider an apparition, in any of those cemeteries, growing up. Like after I had like those experiences, in those houses, it really just like, I didn't really have any experiences after that, except for that one time in the cemetery where I saw a guy like walking up, a walkway, but he like didn't seem to have any hands or feet or a head. It was just jeans and like a flannel, like jacket, t-shirt type thing. Mm-hmm. And, it was like the whole like figure was just kind of like glowing like this reddish hue. And, I was with my cousin actually at the time. And I was like, maybe we should think about getting out of here. What is that? You know? And I pointed and she's like, oh yeah, right. Okay. I'm like, I'm going to fall for that. You know? And I'm like, no, seriously, like you need to look behind you. And she like looks behind her and she was gone like in an instant. Like it was insane how fast that girl ran. And I took off right after her. We're out of there after that. But yeah, that was like really the only time I've ever actually experienced anything hanging out in any of those cemeteries. I've actually fallen asleep numerous times in the Southbridge Cemetery when I was a child.
It's funny because, you know, a lot of people look at cemeteries of these places of, oh, okay, kind of get in, get out, view whoever is, you know, visit whoever is there, and then that's it. But you find seeming great joy and comfort in the cemeteries. I can't fault you. I seek them out as well. So I do understand where you're coming from, and probably a lot of our listeners do too. When you had that experience, though, and you were literally in there, you have someone else, your cousin is with you, who sees this too. So you know you're not alone in seeing this thing that clearly does not seem to have the attributes of a living person, at least not all of them, to check the boxes to go, yes, that one is living, but enough to go, it seems like it's intelligent, but it's over there. What is going through your mind at that point? I mean, are you, I mean, obviously I know you got the hell out of there, but what, but tell me, you know, in those moments as you're trying to process this, what's your mind telling you as it is trying to process it?
Basically at that moment, I was just trying to focus on keeping up with her because she was out of there. But also, like you said, just trying to process it. Like, what was that? What could it have possibly been? Why did it look the way it did? Just like, was my eyes playing tricks on me? All those things like start going through your head. Like, you know, trying to essentially like tell yourself you're not crazy, but you know, maybe you were seeing things a little bit. You know, yeah. I don't know. But yeah, that was a really strange incident. And she brings it up, like, I guess, like all the time, like my aunts and stuff like that. They're like, oh, yeah, she tells us that story every time we see her, pretty much. And it's like, so, yeah, it definitely it stuck for sure.
So was that kind of like the catalyst as you got older, you know, that drew this from just being a childhood interest to, okay, well, we still can experience these things as damn near adults. Let's keep digging. Let's keep seeing what else is around here.
Oh yeah, definitely. And like many other occurrences, honestly, like even later into life, at my aunt's apartments over by these old mills and stuff, we had both seen a little boy that we never mentioned to each other until, you know, I'd seen it. She had seen it before, but hadn't told anybody about it. And then I seen him one day and was just like, hey, like this just happened. Like, you know, maybe you should just know about it. And she's like, oh, I've seen him before too. Like, it's a real weird place, and just kind of like brushed it off. It wasn't really a thing, but yeah, just all these experiences, and it just would like kind of keep happening throughout my life. And it's just like, there's obviously stuff going on greater than us, like things that, you know, we don't fully comprehend, and like maybe we should be focusing on trying to, you know,
sure,
maybe it's important. You know, that's just kind of my thought on it, is like, it's all happening for a reason. So
The question is, what is that reason? When you look back on the houses that you lived on, maybe even more specifically the one you'd mentioned first, where you had those dream experiences and your aunt ended up getting you out of bed at 3 a.m. to go for a little jaunt around town. If anything, have you ever been able to look back on the property? I know you said it's now torn down, but have you ever been able to look back and try and ask the question, who was that was there, and why were they there, or what was the purpose of it? I would imagine it at least ran through your mind, but have you found any sort of answers with that sort of way of thinking?
Zero answers, tons of questions, especially with the place being torn down. Like, I've gone back there and like there's stuff on the foundation and stuff now where they're gonna probably start building something else, maybe another house. Hopefully it goes better for them this time. But I did kind of go onto like the walking trail right across the street from the house and just kind of sit there in a quiet spot and like, you know, run a recorder, and I just try different things to see if like something would come through, maybe recognize my energy or, you know, something like that. And really to no success. Didn't really have anything, didn't really feel anything, see anything or hear anything, just really no experiences. But
no idea on like the history of the house. Did you find anything about, you know, where, you know, who had been in there, what has happened in there, if anything?
No, like I've literally just come to dead ends. I've even tried to talk to my friend now later in life, who his parents were the ones that owned it last, before they just kind of gave it up, and it just became just basically just a building that was decaying there.
Yeah.
Man, he just really won't talk much about it. And he's like, basically just brushes me off.
That's interesting. I mean, and how do you take that? I mean, that can be telling in one of two ways. Either I don't want to talk about that shithole house that's falling apart down the road because I have better things going on than to discuss this, or we know there's stuff that's going on in that house down the road that we invested in, and now we can't make any money on it because it is still, there's something wrong with that house, and it's not nothing to do with the structure of it.
Another thing that makes your head tick. Yeah. Cause I mean, yeah. I'll talk to him regularly. I'll hit him up and be like, you know, talk about like, cause he runs a card business and stuff. Talk about his cards. He'll hit me up.
Yeah.
Talk about going out for a beer, you know, he'll hit me up. He'll get right back to me. I talked to him about that house, and that message will stay unread for like 2-3 days. It's like, you know, what's going on here? It makes me scratch my head.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't really ever come up with theories about all that, honestly.
That's like, interesting.
Yeah. I mean, one of my theories that I've had is like possibly it, because, you know, a common belief is spirit guides, and they set you on the path that you're on.
Mm-hmm.
Is that maybe not all spirit guides are pretty and whimsical and, you know, past relatives or ancestors. Maybe some of them can be a little tough to look at. And you know, maybe because it never hurt me or anything like that, maybe in that moment it set me on the path that I'm on and all that. So like, it just leads you to kind of believe that that's a possibility, not something I can confirm by any means, but it's
by,
a thought.
By scaring the crap out of you, it sets you on the path. I mean, it is, I guess, a possibility. It's an interesting way of looking at it of, well, they're not all going to be aesthetically wonderful. but an interesting way to get you on that path nonetheless. So tell me more about, as you jump more onto that path of investigating the paranormal after having all those experiences, what was your goal as you kind of started to take it a little more serious beyond wandering around a cemetery in the dark, you know, maybe, you know, arranging a time to go see a place with a piece of equipment or something, in terms of being more of an investigator? Everyone, you know, is amateur in that world because we're all everybody's trying to experiment in different ways, shapes and forms. Some have just more years under their belts, but when you're beginning this process, what's your goal? What are you thinking? Are you just out there kind of as a spectator, a sightseer, just wanting to see what you can get? Do you have a goal in mind of helping people who are dealing with things, or what initially is the thought process?
Honestly, like all of the above, I want to just gain experience and just learn, obviously. And like I said, it's just obviously I feel like it's a really important topic that's not paid attention to enough, I guess. And really, in that sense, I'm just trying to take in as much as I can possibly take in. And if I can possibly help someone down the road, like, you know, I've actually tried to help out a friend and stuff like that with their house and whatnot. And so be it. But outside of that, honestly, just trying to gain knowledge and my own insight, answer some of my own big questions, which I'm sure are a lot of people's same big questions, is basically just like, what's out there? Like, I'm just really trying to find out, just like everybody else, I guess.
That wraps up the first part of our conversation with Nick Graves about House of Ghosts. In part two, what does Nick feel like the ghost family tree looks like to him when talking about the paranormal? What did Nick experience while investigating the Wilson Castle? Does Nick ever feel any reservation about how open communication can be today with the dead? Has Nick ever been in a situation where he felt that he was communicating with something negative? And how did Nick make peace with his spirits while working late nights as a pastry chef in a haunted restaurant? All of that and more in part two of our conversation. Until next time, for the Grave Talks, I am Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Five years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. 5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you, and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app, with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.